from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lee, the definition of insanity is holding two equal and opposing ideas in one's head at the same time,
okay,
and believing them both.
Yep.
That'll make you nuts.
Yes, it will.
And actually, statistically, liberals, and particularly liberal women, have the highest level of mental illness in the country. That's well documented. So maybe this is what's going on, all this holding of equal and opposing ideas in your head at one time, like this. This is what you have to believe right now if you're a liberal. And it'll make you a little wacky. Joe Biden, one half of the Kamala and Joe show, says he has defeated inflation. Everything is great.
Yeah.
If you can't afford your groceries, there's something wrong with you. Because he fixed it. It's all fixed. Well, okay, those groceries do cost 29% more on average for just food things.
Yeah.
If you just break out just the food. Yeah, in other words, not the toilet paper, not the light bulbs. But yeah, just the food. 29% more. 29% more. But he fixed it. It's fixed. Okay, that was then. This is now. It's better. Yay! Kamala Harris says inflation's so bad that she needs to give the FTC the ability to regulate prices. An essential government takeover of the grocery industry.
Yeah.
Which is it? Those are two equal and opposing ideas. But if you're a liberal, you got to believe both things. Joe fixed it.
But there's still work to do.
Yeah, not even still work to do. Also, this is an emergency, man. Right? Because up till now, we haven't done this. We haven't had the government come in and fix prices. So which is it? So Peter Doocy, the only actual real functioning journalist in the Washington Press Corps, asked a real question. And it's always news when Peter Doocy asks a real question, since we don't see that much from anybody but him. He asked Biden about this. He says, you know, to Biden, you know, Kamala seems to be trying to distance herself from your disastrous policies. Could you comment on that?
How much does it bother you that Vice President Harris might soon, for political reasons, start to distance herself from your economic
She's not going to. And he's shaking his head. No, she's not. Why? Because they're on the same page. It's going to be just more of the same.
Well, we'll find out today in Raleigh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, meanwhile, Michael Schellenberger, liberal journalist, writes this on X, and boy, does he nail it. Kamala Harris's campaign claims grocery stores are price gouging, but they're not. If they were, their annual profits wouldn't be just 1.2% when the all industry average is 8.5%. Mm-hmm. The media will likely hide those numbers tomorrow when they fluff Harris's proposal. Yes, that's the lie they will be telling now. That is the new lie. Okay, to make this make sense to people, let's suppose Kamala and the FTC, and we don't have all the details yet on how this FTC is going to somehow control prices in the grocery, like, you know, grocery prices, okay? But let's suppose that the FTC comes after these evil corporate goons and cuts profits in half in the grocery industry, right?
Okay.
Cuts profits in half. Okay. Well, suppose your bill is suppose your bill is $100. That's your grocery bill right now.
Okay. Boy, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, let's suppose. That will take $1.20 off your grocery bill. Will you notice that?
No.
No, you will not. What people do notice is that 3 years ago, given the rate of inflation, that same grocery bill was $60. So she's creating this impression she's going to get you back to where they were. She's not. You're not even going to notice the difference at first until you notice there are no groceries on the shelves. Then you will notice the difference, yes.
Yeah.
Because then you get scarcity once you do this. That's how this works. So we don't have any details yet. I'm going to be very curious to hear these details on how the FTC is going to price fix in the grocery industry. I mean, when the profit margins are so small,
I would say what legal authority would they have to do then? But the legal authority and Democrat policies have nothing to do with each other.
No, they have the Lever Act. They can do this. But they can take over the entire industry if they want.
I think during the Lever Act, though, they have to declare a national emergency.
Here's what they're going to try. I don't know if it'll work, but the New York Times explained this. They think this is brilliant. The war we're in is on climate change. We're in a war on climate change for existential survival. It's fake, but play along. That's what they're going to say. And so this presents that big national challenge like World War I did. And so we can do this. The other thing that they are going to do is to try to get into an actual hot war with Iran, Ukraine, you know, on the Ukrainian soil against Russia, or with China, any of those work. And then they can implement all this too. They only need one of those to go. So that is one of the reasons they're going to want to get into World War II. That'd give them total cover, but the New York Times envisioned this being in 2022, they would use the Lever Act with the excuse of the war on climate change. So I don't know, but that's what they're going to try. They already laid it out. I don't know if it'll work, but that's what they're going to try. Okay. Meanwhile, some good news.
All right.
Because we all need some good news.
Yes.
I just want to stop for a moment and sort of underline end of week here. How unbe-freaking amazing and unbe-freaking leavable amazing it was that Elon Musk got over a billion views for that Trump interview. You know what that says? There is such a hunger for real unfiltered news. I mean, we've never seen that before. Can you think of another news event that did that well?
No.
Because, I mean, no. I can't. And if this was Kamala Harris who'd been interviewed and they got that, the media would be celebrating
talking about
the smashing of records.
Record-breaking, yes. Unprecedented.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the good news about this, okay? And this is proportionate to the freakout, okay? This is why the Democrats called their friends over in the UK and went, oh my gosh, you're going to have to arrest this guy. Threaten to arrest him, anything to shut him down. And it's the numbers. Listen to who listened. If you had asked me who probably listened to this, I'd say probably men in their, I don't know, 40s, 50s. I'm like, no. 70% of those who listened to the interview are between the ages of 25 and 34.
Good.
Oh, that's a disaster for them.
Yeah, but that's good. That's good that those folks are paying attention now.
It's excellent. They, you know what? They just want to know, is this guy Trump really Hitler? Hitler Nazi? Or is he just like, is he scary? Is he going to, you know, I bet you some of them tuned in expecting to hear the, you know, racism and oppression all the horror of it, right?
All of the hyperbole that the Associated Press uses daily against the former president.
This is why the media is so afraid you'll get a real look at him unfiltered, because he's just going to look really reasonable.
Normal.
Not weird. Not radical. None of it. Now, listen to this. Listen to who else tuned in, because this has them peeing in their depends over there at CNN.
Okay.
54% of those who watched the Trump Elon interview were male. Yes, but 46% were female. That's not supposed to happen either.
Yeah.
That's not good. And they, you know, they knew this was going to be bad. And again, that's why they called across the pond to their friends in the UK and were like, you got to threaten to arrest him. You got to. And that's why I think all these liberal MPs started talking about, you know, we're going to have to extradite him. And then the prosecutors came out and the liberal MPs were saying by name that Musk needed to be arrested. And they got the former VP of Facebook. No, I'm sorry, the former VP of Twitter for the Middle East, Europe and Asia to demand his arrest. And I think the Democrat Party literally freaked and called over there and called in all their chips and said, you got to threaten to arrest this guy. Something, we've got to stop him. And they didn't stop him. And the whole world got to look at Trump. And he didn't look too scary.
Yeah, it was amazing how much of the negative headlines, the negative headline writing about that, saying that it was long, it was rambling. I mean, they had all kind of criticisms for both Musk and Trump on that. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and this is a sign of their desperation.
Yeah,
they're scared.
It's a coordinated attack.
Actually, you read my mind. I was going to that next because Elon Musk retweeted those headlines. Lee, first one, USA Today. Trump rambles, slurs his way through Elon Musk interview. It was an unmitigated disaster. The Guardian, liberal Guardian. So Donald chatted with Elon, and here's the future as they see it. Losers win, incompetence rules. New York Times, Musk's Trump talk on X after glitchy start. A two-hour ramble. What else do we have? Financial Times, liberal publication. In the world, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, a tale of two struggling social media entrepreneurs. Struggling?
Struggling.
Yeah, you know what they're mad about?
I would like to struggle like Elon
Me
Musk
too.
And Donald Trump.
I'm
just telling you. I would love to struggle that much.
X is not a news app, but it is the number one most downloaded news app on Earth. Yeah. And it actually is a news app now because they have Grok, and Grok aggregates the news and you can read it. But yeah, this is just endless desperation by them. So I'm super excited about it. And if you want to know why they've had to send the FBI in, Lee, to censor, I mean, I went and pulled the numbers and I was shocked by them this week. And you're talking about, again, the top 50 daily newspapers, digital and circulation, have 9 million readers, including New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal combined. 9 million, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's not power.
No.
A billion views is power. And when you're attracting 25 to 34, and CNN can't stop it, and the FBI can't stop it, that's panic. And it's wonderful to watch. I hope it will be enough in enough time before the election to make a difference.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, it is Friday. Last hour of the show, going to be taking calls on the week that was. Anything we've covered is back on the table for comment. Give us a call, 800-905-0989. If something is just burning you up, this is a great time to lay it out for us. Again, 800-905-0989. Okay. So Kamala Harris, it turns out, has been proposing since 2021 end of to cut prices. It's a great montage of her doing that. They just played on Fox News. Promising and promising and promising and promising. Prices didn't get cut, did they? Didn't happen. It's not going to happen. It's not the plan. Now, she just announced her economic plan. Her economic plan is really a scapegoat. It's a dodge. It's not an actual plan. She says she's going to pay $25,000 of the down payment so people can afford houses again. Never mind that the price of a house has doubled, so that's not going to help much. Again, it's a dodge. The average person is going to think, oh, I get to have a house. No, you don't. No, you don't. $25,000 isn't going to near deal with it when they've doubled the price of houses. I laid that out earlier using Zillow numbers. The price of a house on average in 3 years doubled. Can you imagine 3 more years of this woman? 4 more years of this way? Houses double again. And maybe anybody in this country can afford them. It's unbelievable what is going on right now. Okay. Meanwhile, did you hear this? 100,000 pro-Palestinian protesters are set to descend on, I can't wait, on Chicago for the DNC. Can you imagine? I don't know what the Democrats are going to do. You can't send police to restrain them, and they are violent. And I say that not to cast aspersions, but looking at the last couple of protests. You saw them in D.C. running around defacing monuments. You saw them at Union Station. If you didn't, look it up. They overwhelmed police. They beat police. When police tried to arrest a few of them, they went and took them back with violence. They knew the 10,000 protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters, so that'd be LGBTQ folks. The Democrat base basically was going to descend on Union Station, yet they only dispatched 47 officers to deal with it. Why did the Democrats do that in D.C.? Because they don't dare oppose these people. Remember who these people are funded by. Their friends in Iran is part of it, remember? We laid that out with the Biden administration admitting, yeah, Iran is funding our Democrat grassroots protests. But who else is funding them, remember? Joe Biden's donors. They can't send the police to quell the violence. They can't. They'll offend their donors and the mullahs in Iran. So, folks, I don't know what they do. NBC News reported 100,000 protesters are expected, pro-Palestinian protesters. Can you imagine the violence? I mean, there's going to be a spray paint can left in the state. And you have to let them do it. You have to let them deface. You have to let them go violent. Now, think about the mentality of the people that are descending upon the DNC here. Folks, get the popcorn. You're going to watch a level of dysfunction that is going to be so enjoyable. Because they've got a big problem here, okay? Because the Democrat donors and Iran are paying for this, but then I repeat myself. Because the Democrat donors in Iran are paying for this, they can't arrest them. Worse, they've gotten used to the idea, these protesters have, that they are royalty. And who are these protesters? These are pro-Palestinians, probably a lot of illegal immigrants in there, and maybe some Palestinian terrorists like the four we just caught in the last 2 weeks coming over the border. They are literally on the terror watch list. They're the people who were in New York, the people who smashed their way into that building and took it over, which is, by the way, for the rest of us, felony breaking and entering, but we're not Democrats. So what have they been conditioned to expect? No police interference. If they interfere with the police and beat them and there are charges, the charges will be what? Dismissed. Who taught them that? Alvin Bragg in New York, remember? We have them on video smashing their way into the building. He dropped the charges, remember? This is what they expect now. In D.C., what did the prosecutor do? Dropped the charges against the people who spat upon, kicked, shoved the police. What do they learn to expect in front of Union Square in D.C.? This is conditioning. Well, the Democrats aren't going to send much in the way of force to stop us. So 10,000 people expected. They say 5 to 7 showed up in front of Union Square. They were defacing stuff, hanging Palestinian flags, taking down the American flag, and generally violent toward the police officers who were there. They only sent 47 officers, totally overwhelmed. So they expect not a lot of police presence. They can do whatever they want. They can go wherever they want. And if there are any arrests, those charges will be dismissed. That's the expectation. I don't know how they're going to control the crowd. Can they? Yes, Texter writes 100,000 is an army. It's an army. Whew. Now, I want to play this so you can see how this works in a post-American territory now, like where the DNC will be held. Okay? This is unbelievable. They're letting the pro-Hamas, pro-terror Palestinian protesters and their LGBTQ base march together. That won't last forever, by the way. Eventually, the pro-Palestinians will be beating the LGBTQs, but that hasn't happened yet because they're still useful. They're letting them march. They're mad because they don't get to do whatever they want. But they're not letting Jews march. I know. Like, how can you even do that? I don't know. But listen to this news report from Carly Shimkus on Fox. Listen to this.
An anti-Israel group is planning to protest the DNC and will hold a press conference today. After after the city of Chicago granted them permits to rally at the convention center next week. But those permits come with conditions. The group will not be allowed to use any stages, tents, or sound equipment. And the group says that's an outrage and violates their rights. Meanwhile, a pro-Israel group says they were denied permits altogether. The Israeli American Council wanted to rent a digital billboard featuring the names and pictures of American citizens who were killed or kidnapped by Hamas on October 7th, but Chicago denied their request, if you can believe that, citing guidelines against profanity and violence. How is that profane?
Jews can't even take out billboards to peacefully feature the faces of Americans who are still being held by the glorious terror group Hamas, beloved by Kamala Harris's stepdaughter who raises money for them. No Jews, not even Jewish billboards, not in post-constitutional, post-American territory of Chicago. So they don't want to offend the army. It's 100,000. What are they going to do? If this is what happens now, what will they do? This is their base. What, they can't set the cops on them? I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to lose control of it. And if they don't lose control of this, they're going to lose control of one of these because they are right on the edge. I'm telling you, people are going to be hurt and killed. They're going to be hurt and killed. Texter writes, well, I guess Chicago may burn again just as it did in 1871 with all these protesters next week. I don't know. But folks, Texter writes, in the media is being told not to report any of this. Thank God for Elon Musk, and maybe we can get the truth. Yeah. Meanwhile, y'all, Tim Walz is not well mentally. In much the same way, Joe Biden is not well. Look, I don't like Kamala Harris. I think she's evil. And she's an evil liar. But mentally, she's there. She's all there. She's saying, Tim Walz, like Joe Biden, needs help. And the difference between, as I've said many times, the lies that Kamala tells, if you've ever known a compulsive liar, and if you have, you know it. The difference between the lies Kamala tells are that they are logical. They are, you know, policy based. They are aimed at furthering her career, but they don't hurt her necessarily. The lies that Joe Biden and Tim Walz tell are based in a psychological, deep abiding psychological doubt about their self-worth. They're biographical. These are lies that hurt them when they tell them, but they can't help it. They can't help it. To round up the week, folks, so many lies that Tim Walz told about the war zones he fought in, that this is a problem, okay? This is not a guy who just enhanced his resume a little because he was running for office, right? That would be evil, but logical. Majority of Americans enhance their resumes a little bit. That's not out of the mainstream. It's not good. It's not what we should do, but it's not out of the mainstream. That's not what Walz did. We recently came up with an endorsement letter written by John Kerry in which John Kerry used the title, the commanding title that Walz claims to have, instead of his real title. Why? Because Walz lied to Kerry. And Kerry claims he fought on a battlefield. He did not. In Operation Enduring Freedom. He did not. Why? He told Kerry that. A video has surfaced. And apparently MSNBC was using Walz as a congressman. This goes back many years to when Chris Matthews was still on MSNBC. They're using him as an expert who has been in war. In the video, Walz, in a general, or commenting on, you know, hey, we shouldn't send more troops, blah, blah. The general lies and says, you know, Walz has seen combat. Walz doesn't correct him. Why? He lied to the general. He lied to Chris Matthews. He let his own fellow Democrats believe he's a combat veteran. And so they had him in for a lot of things because that's his resume and they don't really have a lot of military members, much less combat veterans among them. In fact, by adding Tim Walz, they still don't have a lot of military members and combat veterans among them. They had a hearing on PTSD. That video has resurfaced. I can't even keep up with it all. I don't even have time to bring it all to you. So I'm going to summarize it. Excuse me. They had a PTSD video from hearing in Congress. And Walz is championing how veterans like him and the guys he led into battle need counseling for PTSD. We need to take this seriously, which I agree with. I think it needs to be better understood. And he talks about how when they were leaving the theater, all they got was a movie with a horse that whispered. And that was it. They didn't get, you know, they didn't get anything they needed for their PTSD. Well, of course he didn't. He served in Italy. It was like a vacation. I mean, so yeah, of course they just showed you a nice horse video on the way out. Because you didn't have PTSD, bud. You didn't go into battle. But they called him in as a witness in the hearing. They deferred to him. They had him talk about it. Oh, my guys, I saw what they went through. No, you didn't, Tim. Because they had shunned you by then. Because you abandoned them and they went to Iraq and you bailed. Which, look, you did 24 years fine. I mean, great. Fantastic. But don't pretend like you went to Iraq and Afghanistan, because you didn't. So he let his fellow Democrats think this. Nancy Pelosi introduced him by his fake title that he did not have. Kamala Harris, on her website, the campaign website, called him by that title and identified him as a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom. In other words, as if he'd gone and fought. He lied to her, too. It's on and on and on and on. He's sick. And now we're finding this. And I told you we're going to find more. They can't stop. It's just like Joe Biden, who drove an 18-wheeler, who traveled more than a million miles on Amtrak. His last trip to see his mother, who was dead at the time. He got an award from a guy who, it turns out, had also been dead for 22 years, including at the time he supposedly gave Joe Biden an award for being Lunchbox Joe and using Amtrak. You know how Joe's story is. Lie after lie after lie after. He can't stop. Uncle Posey got eaten by cannibals. Why? I don't know. He was a great guy. He's like all of us Biden's man. Heroic. Flew over to sea to save the people, man. Posey, just like me. And then he got eaten by cannibals, except he didn't. That's Walz. Walz is the same way. He can't stop and he needs help. He doesn't need power. Listen to this one. Walz got caught drunk driving 95 miles an hour back in 1995. Got arrested. Do you know what his campaign did? Blamed the arresting state trooper. Claimed he wasn't actually drunk, but that the trooper was confused because, see, he has a hearing problem. He's got a hearing problem and the trooper didn't know it. And he said, well, you know, look, we got it all straightened out. They let me drive home. No. Mm-mm. He blew a .12. They did not let him drive home. That didn't happen. According to Walz's campaign staff, Walz denies being drunk the night of the incident. This is from the time. Walz was hard of hearing. Listen to this. This is hilarious. A result of his years as an artillery soldier in the Army National Guard. Here it is. Yeah, man, I'm the super soldier, man. I went into war, fought for you, except he didn't. And all those bullets whizzing by my head all the time as a super soldier. What? I mean, I'm deaf. Didn't happen. He had trouble hearing the trooper. And as a result of that, he was accidentally arrested. He couldn't understand what the trooper was telling him during the field sobriety test, being, you know, the heroic veteran that he is. And the trooper refused to speak up. Total lie. He failed a blood alcohol test is what happened. The DUI charges were dropped for a reason. Salisbury added, speaking for his campaign. The judge would not have dismissed them if there were anything to them. Tim drove to the police station that night after being stopped, and he drove home afterwards. I don't think the trooper would have allowed that if he thought there was a problem. He didn't. That didn't happen. None of that happened. Walz campaign manager, Carrie Greenlee, can't dispute that Walz was speeding when he was pulled over that night. But she said he was not drunk. You know what? I bet he lied to her, too. Oh, super soldier. Deaf in one ear from all that firing he does, like pitcher Rambo style. Again, the thing, folks, he couldn't stop lying even to Democrats. He's been lying since 2005 about this. He can't help himself. And he doesn't belong anywhere near power. Well, looky here. Got to take credit for this. Boy, this was unpopular when I said it, including with some in this audience. Got accused of being a Putin lover. No, I'm a lover of the truth. I follow it where it takes me. Do you remember about 5 minutes after the Nord Stream pipeline blew up? The CIA, State Department came out and said, no, Russia did it. Yeah, Russia did it. Shame on them. And I said, no, they didn't. Now, Russia didn't blow up the Nord. Anybody with a brain could see that. They're lying. And there's no way they'd know that fast anyway. Guess what? Look, this is why you listen to the Tara Show. You know real things months to years ahead, because I've got a spidey sense for news, and I especially know these intel agencies. I knew they were lying, and now they are lying. They're admitting they're lying. The CIA in the Wall Street Journal saying, it was Ukraine. No, it wasn't. Now we're getting closer, though. What a reversal. Folks, after that happened, remember how it was. Even our media repeated on a loop that Russia had done it. And I explained Russia could not have done it. It doesn't make any sense. We did it. The Biden administration did it. I'm guessing CIA, I don't know specifically, but we did it. And it was a historical landmark move because it was a terror attack by us on Germany, not on Russia. See, what people don't realize about the Nord is that Germany built it, as did the UK. There was UK money, there was French money, but a lot of German money wrapped up in the Nord. A little more German money than there was Russian money. They were dependent on it. They were desperately dependent on the Nord. One of the pipelines had been moving natural gas through it since 2011. There were two more about to go live. Germans were about to acquiesce to Russia. They were going to back off their... Basically, Russia wanted their support to take Ukraine, right? And the Germans are like, damn, we need natural gas. And they were about to acquiesce to Russia. What did Russia want? Russia was going to said to the Germans, hey, listen, we'll sell you the natural gas. We'll turn the pipeline on, but you can't buy it in dollars like you've been buying it. You got to buy it in ruples, or you could even use your own currency. And Germany went, wow, we can use our own currency? You mean we don't have to float the U.S. and buy it for U.S. dollars, which artificially props up the dollar and lets Congress run the printing press? Nah, use your own money. That's fine with us. I went, holy crap. Holy cow. We can't let Germany pay Russia in their own currency, because then the printing press will break. We can't print all this money. And we attacked them in a terror attack. We blew it up. Again, that line's half owned by Germany. Me didn't tell you that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, y'all, Tim Walz is not well mentally. In much the same way Joe Biden is not well. Look, I don't like Kamala Harris. I think she's evil. And she's an evil liar. But mentally, she's there. She's all there. She's sane. Tim Walz, like Joe Biden, needs help. And the difference between, as I've said many times, the lies that Kamala tells, if you've ever known a compulsive liar, and if you have, you know it. The difference between the lies Kamala tells are that they are logical. They are, you know, policy-based. They are aimed at furthering her career. But they don't hurt her necessarily. The lies that Joe Biden and Tim Walz tell are based in a psychological, deep abiding psychological doubt about their self-worth. They're biographical. These are lies that hurt them when they tell them, but they can't help it. They can't help it. To round up the week, folks, so many lies that Tim Walz told about the war zones he fought in. That this is a problem, okay? This is not a guy who just enhanced his resume a little because he was running for office, right? That would be evil, but logical. Majority of Americans enhance their resumes a little bit. That's not out of the mainstream. It's not good. It's not what we should do, but it's not out of the mainstream. That's not what Walz did. We recently came up with an endorsement letter written by John Kerry in which John Kerry used the title, the commanding title that Walz claims to have, instead of his real title. Why? Because Walz lied to Kerry. And Kerry claims he fought on a battlefield. He did not. In Operation Enduring Freedom. He did not. Why? He told Kerry that. A video has surfaced. And apparently MSNBC was using Walz as a congressman. This goes back many years to when Chris Matthews was still on MSNBC. They're using him as an expert who has been in war. In the video, Walz, in a general, or commenting on, you know, hey, we shouldn't send more troops, blah, blah. The general lies and says, you know, Walz has seen combat. Walz doesn't correct him. Why? He lied to the general. He lied to Chris Matthews. He let his own fellow Democrats believe he's a combat veteran. And so they had him in for a lot of things because that's his resume and they don't really have a lot of military members, much less combat veterans among them. In fact, by adding Tim Walz, they still don't have a lot of military members and combat veterans among them. They had a hearing on PTSD. That video has resurfaced. I can't even keep up with it all. I don't even have time to bring it all to you. So I'm going to summarize it. Excuse me. They had a PTSD video from a hearing in Congress. And Walz is championing how veterans like him and the guys he led into battle need counseling for PTSD. We need to take this seriously, which I agree with. I think it needs to be better understood. And he talks about how when they were leaving the theater, all they got was a movie with a horse that whispered. And that was it. They didn't get, you know, they didn't get anything they needed for their PTSD. Well, of course he didn't. He served in Italy. It was like a vacation. I mean, so yeah, of course they just showed you a nice horse video on the way out because you didn't have PTSD, bud. You didn't go into battle. But they called him in as a witness in the hearing. They deferred to him. They had him talk about it. Oh, my guys, I saw what they went through. No, you didn't, Tim. Because they had shunned you by then because you abandoned them and they went to Iraq and you bailed, which, look, you did 24 years fine. I mean, great. Fantastic. But don't pretend like you went to Iraq and Afghanistan because you didn't. So he let his fellow Democrats think this. Nancy Pelosi introduced him by his fake title that he did not have. Kamala Harris, on her website, the campaign website, called him by that title and identified him as a veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom. In other words, as if he'd gone and fought. He lied to her, too. It's on and on and on and on. He's sick. And now we're finding this. And I told you we're going to find more. They can't stop. It's just like Joe Biden, who drove an 18-wheeler, who traveled more than a million miles on Amtrak. His last trip to see his mother, who was dead at the time. He got an award from a guy who, it turns out, had also been dead for 22 years, including at the time he supposedly gave Joe Biden an award for being Lunchbox Joe and using Amtrak. You know how Joe's story is. Lie after lie after lie. He can't stop. Uncle Posey got eaten by cannibals. Why? I don't know. He was a great guy. He's like all of us, Biden's man. Heroic. Flew over to sea to save the people, man. Bozy, just like me. And then he got eaten by cannibals, except he didn't. That's Walz. Walz is the same way. He can't stop and he needs help. He doesn't need power. Listen to this one. Walz got caught drunk driving 95 miles an hour back in 1995. Got arrested. Do you know what his campaign did? Blamed the arresting state trooper, claimed he wasn't actually drunk, but that the trooper was confused because, see, he has a hearing problem. He's got a hearing problem and the trooper didn't know it. And he said, well, you know, look, we got it all straightened out. They let me drive home. No. Mm-mm. He He blew a .12. They did not let him drive home. That didn't happen. According to Walz's campaign staff, Walz denies being drunk the night of the incident. This is from the time. Walz was hard of hearing. Listen to this. This is hilarious. A result of his years as an artillery soldier in the Army National Guard. Here it is. Yeah, man, I'm the super soldier, man. I went into war, fought for you, except he didn't. And all those bullets whizzing by my head all the time as a super soldier. What? I mean, I'm deaf. Didn't happen. He had trouble hearing the trooper. And as a result of that, he was accidentally arrested. He couldn't understand what the trooper was telling him during the field sobriety test, being, you know, the heroic veteran that he is. And the trooper refused to speak up. Total lie. He failed a blood alcohol test is what happened. The DUI charges were dropped for a reason, Salisbury added, speaking for his campaign. The judge would not have dismissed them if there were anything to them. Tim drove to the police station that night after being stopped, and he drove home afterwards. I don't think the trooper would have allowed that if he thought there was a problem. Well, he didn't. That didn't happen. None of that happened. Walz campaign manager Carrie Greenlee can't dispute that Walz was speeding when he was pulled over that night. But she said he was not drunk. You know what? I bet he lied to her too. Oh, super soldier, deaf in one ear from all that firing he does, like pitcher Rambo style. Again, the thing, folks, he couldn't stop lying even to Democrats. He's been lying since 2005 about this. He can't help himself. And he doesn't belong anywhere near power. Well, looky here. Got to take credit for this. Boy, this was unpopular when I said it, including with some in this audience. Got accused of being a Putin lover. No, I'm a lover of the truth. I follow it where it takes me. Do you remember about 5 minutes after the Nord Stream pipeline blew up? The CIA, State Department came out and said, oh, Russia did it. Yeah, Russia did it. Shame on them. And I said, no, they didn't. No, Russia didn't blow up the Nord. Anybody with a brain could see that. They're lying. And there's no way they'd know that fast anyway. Guess what? Look, this is why you listen to the Tara Show. You know real things months to years ahead because I've got a spidey sense for news and I especially know these intel agencies. I knew they were lying and now they are lying. They're admitting they're lying. The CIA in the Wall Street Journal saying, it was Ukraine. No, it wasn't. Now we're getting closer though. What a reversal. Folks, after that happened, remember how it was. Even our media repeated on a loop that Russia had done it. And I explained Russia could not have done it. It doesn't make any sense. We did it. The Biden administration did it. I'm guessing CIA, I don't know specifically, but we did it. And it was a historical landmark move because it was a terror attack by us on Germany, not on Russia. See, what people don't realize about the Nord is that Germany built it, as did the UK. There was UK money, there was French money, but a lot of German money wrapped up in the Nord. A little more German money than there was Russian money. They were dependent on it. They were desperately dependent on the Nord. One of the pipelines had been moving natural gas through it since 2011. There were two more about to go live. Germans were about to acquiesce to Russia. They were going to back off their... Basically, Russia wanted their support to take Ukraine, right? And the Germans are like, damn, we need natural gas. And they were about to acquiesce to Russia. What did Russia want? Russia was going to said to the Germans, hey, listen, we'll sell you the natural gas. We'll turn the pipeline on, but you can't buy it in dollars like you've been buying it. You got to buy it in ruples, or you could even use your own currency. And Germany went, wow, we can use our own currency? You mean we don't have to float the U.S. and buy it for U.S. dollars, which artificially props up the dollar and lets Congress run the printing press? Nah, use your own money. That's fine with us. I went, holy crap. Holy cow. We can't let Germany pay Russia in their own currency because then the printing press will break. We can't print all this money. And we attacked them in a terror attack. We blew it up. Again, that line's half owned by Germany. Me didn't tell you that. Russia wouldn't blow it up. They need the money. We did it so that the world wouldn't see Germany getting to pee in its own money and demand to do it too. Because if the world could stop paying for things in dollars, we can't print anymore. And our dollars will crash in value. And they want to print. I mean, they're having a big party up there in the swamp. So what did they do? What they always do? Violence and war. So the new lie, the new lie is that actually Ukraine did it. It was a job about $300,000. CIA told them not to, but they did it. Wait a minute. Who was this? Who was that who told us that absolutely with complete certainty was the Russians? Oh, it was the CIA. So they lied. They lied. Now the CIA is saying they told the Ukrainians not to, but they blew it up anyway. Does anyone remember the source of the original claim that it was Russia, the CIA? So they knew the whole time they were lying. Mm-hmm. See how they lie to you? I want to bring this up because the CIA is going to tell you very definitively, as will the Department of Homeland Security, they're going to tell you things like Trump got hacked by Iran. That's the ticket. Or Iran's trying to kill Trump. Yeah, that wasn't anybody American. That was Iran. Yeah, that was totally, really Russia. And when the grid goes down, as they've been promising since Biden took office that it will, they're going to tell you it was Iran or they're going to tell you it was Russia. And I'm not going to be here because we'll go off the air. So that's why I prepared you for this. It wasn't. They will be lying. They're going to sound definitive. Our own media will echo them. They will be lying. This is proof of it. You can see right through it. You can drive a truck through it. Again, who told us it was Russia? The CIA. Now the CIA admits they knew the whole time Ukraine was going to do it and asked them not to. What does that mean? No one will catch this. They lied. And everybody ran with it as news, except yours truly. I didn't fall for it because I don't fall for that stuff. That's why you listen to this show, so you will know real and true things months to years ahead. I could smell a lie at a mile. All right. Have a great weekend and don't believe anything they say. Well, looky here. Got to take credit for this. Boy, this was unpopular when I said it, including with some in this audience. Got accused of being a Putin lover. No, I'm a lover of the truth. I follow it where it takes me. Do you remember about 5 minutes after the Nord Stream pipeline blew up? The CIA, State Department came out and said, no, Russia did it. Yeah, Russia did it. Shame on them. I said, no, they didn't. No, Russia didn't blow up the Nord. Anybody with a brain could see that. They're lying. And there's no way they'd know that fast anyway. Guess what? Look, this is why you listen to the Tara Show. You know real things months to years ahead because I've got a spidey sense for news and I especially know these intel agencies. I knew they were lying and now they are lying. They're admitting they're lying. The CIA in the Wall Street Journal saying, it was Ukraine. No, it wasn't. Now we're getting closer though. What a reversal. Folks, after that happened, remember how it was. Even our media repeated on a loop that Russia had done it. And I explained Russia could not have done it. It doesn't make any sense. We did it. The Biden administration did it. I'm guessing CIA, I don't know specifically, but we did it. And it was a historical landmark move because it was a terror attack by us on Germany, not on Russia. See, what people don't realize about the Nord is that Germany built it, as did the UK. There was UK money, there was French money, but a lot of German money wrapped up in the Nord. A little more German money than there was Russian money. They were dependent on it. They were desperately dependent on the Nord. One of the pipelines had been moving natural gas through it since 2011. There were two more about to go live. Germans were about to acquiesce to Russia. They were going to back off their... Basically, Russia wanted their support to take Ukraine, right? And the Germans are like, damn, we need natural gas. And they were about to acquiesce to Russia. What did Russia want? Russia was going to said to the Germans, hey, listen, we'll sell you the natural gas. We'll turn the pipeline on, but you can't buy it in dollars like you've been buying it. You got to buy it in ruples, or you could even use your own currency. And Germany went, wow, we can use our own currency? You mean we don't have to float the U.S. and buy it for U.S. dollars, which artificially props up the dollar and lets Congress run the printing press? Nah, use your own money. That's fine with us. I went, holy crap. Holy cow. We can't let Germany pay Russia in their own currency because then the printing press will break. We can't print all this money. and we attacked them in a terror attack. We blew it up. Again, that line's half owned by Germany. Media didn't tell you that. Russia wouldn't blow it up. They need the money. We did it so that the world wouldn't see Germany getting to pee in its own money and demand to do it too. Because if the world could stop paying for things in dollars, we can't print anymore. And our dollars will crash in value. And they want to print. I mean, they're having a big party up there in a swamp. So what did they do? What they always do. Violence and war. So the new lie, the new lie is that actually Ukraine did it. It was a job of about $300,000. CIA told them not to, but they did it. Wait a minute. Who was this? Who was that who told us that absolutely with complete certainty was the Russians? Oh, it was the CIA. So they lied. They lied. Now the CIA is saying they told the Ukrainians not to, but they blew it up anyway. Does anyone remember the source of the original claim that it was Russia, the CIA? So they knew the whole time they were lying. Mm-hmm. See how they lie to you? I want to bring this up because the CIA is going to tell you very definitively, as will the Department of Homeland Security, they're going to tell you things like Trump got hacked by Iran. That's the ticket. Or Iran's trying to kill Trump. Yeah, that wasn't anybody American. That was Iran. Yeah, that was totally, no, really Russia. And when the grid goes down, as they've been promising since Biden took office that it will, they're going to tell you it was Iran or they're going to tell you it was Russia. And I'm not going to be here because we'll go off the air. So that's why I prepared you for this. It wasn't. They will be lying. They're going to sound definitive. Our own media will echo them. They will be lying. This is proof of it. You can see right through it. You can drive a truck through it. Again, who told us it was Russia? The CIA. Now the CIA admits they knew the whole time Ukraine was going to do it and asked them not to. What does that mean? No one will catch this. They lied. And everybody ran with it as news, except yours truly. I didn't fall for it because I don't fall for that stuff. That's why you listen to this show, so you will know real and true things months to years ahead. I could smell a lie at a mile. All right. Have a great weekend. And don't believe anything they say.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.